Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Father, we just thank you for the word today. I thank you that the fundamentals of the faith are so important. You're interested in what's going on at the heart level of every human being that is in earshot of this word. Signs, wonders, and miracles, as a friend of mine just was sharing, those are important, but they point back to you, and the fundamentals of the faith matter. And I pray that this church does the fundamentals well and agree for that in Jesus' name. Amen. This message is super simple. It's not always the easiest in execution. I want to start with a story. I started in the first service. My son Landon had come home, and he had left an article or two of his clothing at school. And his dad asked him, "So, son, where's your clothing? Where's your gloves?" "I left them at school." And my response was, "Of course you did." And while you laugh, two things went off right at that moment. Number one, my son, the look on his face, and the words that came in response. And his words were, "Dad, that hurt my feelings." So I want to tell you right at that moment, now think about this. I just did last week, quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Landon gives me the word that he'd left another article of clothing at school, and my first heartfelt response goes right to, "Of course you did." How many know words matter? Words have power. So immediately in that moment, my son says, "Dad, I really didn't care for," and by the way, I have permission to share this. There's one thing that I grew up in learning as a pastor's kid. My dad was in a culture, and many, I've seen this over the years, preachers who use their kids for shaming examples without permission of the redemptive story of Jesus will create preacher's kids who hate Jesus. That one was free for any pastor who may be watching this. I have permission to share this story. So Landon, he connects with me and he says, "Dad, I just didn't appreciate, I didn't like how you said that." And I said, "Son, you're absolutely right." Immediately, I was flooded with two thoughts. You suck as a parent. Your kid is going to be in therapy. Then the thought went to, what kind of pastor are you? Voice of condemnation. That thought. Then the Lord brought to manifestation a couple of things. I didn't say it in the first service, but I'll say it in this one. Part of it was my response in that moment was what was going on inside of me. There was an irritation that I was dealing with, which was really fear-based. As I began to think it through, I realized, man, there's something else going on deep inside. It has nothing to do with Landon. It has everything to do with God revealing something to me. And I began to explore the fact that, you know, maybe God wants to deal with me on some things about parenting that I haven't dealt with before, and this is an opportunity, an invitation to clean up my own mess. The second thought that came across me was this. Instead of partnering with condemnation, realizing that the conviction in that moment was godly sorrow, I realized that wasn't who I am. Instead of saying, "I am a mistake, I'm a terrible pastor, a horrible dad, blah, 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 wah, wah, wah," I immediately recognized by the power of the Holy Spirit, he spoke to me very clearly. He said, "Ryan, pay attention. You gave a word that your son didn't like." And immediately, he was a powerful enough young human being to come right back and say, "Dad, I didn't care for what you said." Well done, son. Well done. I'm like, so I don't suck. And I'm only sharing this story to share you that, first of all, churches sometimes create cultures where pastors can't get up here and actually share the intimate details of their lives. Because if you do, after all, why would we follow you? You're not perfect, and we're looking for someone who's made in our image. The truth is, here's the truth. This is what the Father says. Ryan, you're a heavenly parent. You're a great parent. You're an imperfect parent, but you're an awesome parent. That's the truth. The other truth is that I made a mistake. Condemnation says I am a mistake. These are the war of the words that happen in every conflict, in every communication that we have with each other. I'm after communicating for a change. And I want to go after a few basic concepts that, honestly, I was telling Pastor Aaron before the service, sometimes I think we get so impressed, we need the big word, we need the big preach, you know, oh, let's razzle them and dazzle them with some new profound concept. But you know, sometimes we just need the blunt force truth of the simple basic things of the faith that help us and inspire us to grow. So I want to preach for a change. I want to communicate for a change. I want you to feel better about you on Monday than me to feel about me on Monday. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So there is a redemptive close to this that Amarissa, she's smiling. I'm going to bring this whole parenting thing full circle at the end of the message here. But I do want to warn you, the following message is extremely dangerous to disconnection. Extremely dangerous. We said last week in James chapter 1, if you didn't hear the message, go hear the message. The message was all about hearing. It was all about listening. James 1 was our master text from last week. I'm going to use it again today. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Don't you love how James just puts it out there? And then he says, humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. As I mentioned last week, going to heaven is the inheritance of every believer. But our goal is to bring heaven to earth. And the power to save your soul isn't just us going to heaven. It's bringing heaven to earth. And our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. It's all encompassing. And so when we capture what the Lord is saying in these moments of parenting, in these moments on the job, in these moments in church, dealing with people, maybe in counseling, whatever the situation it is, when we hear what he's saying and we receive it and plant it in here with humility, it has the power to save your soul. You begin to not just communicate at people, you begin to communicate with people. We're no longer communicating at God, giving him our cosmic butler genie list of things we want him to perform for us. We're no longer communicating at God, we're communicating with God. We're not communicating at ourselves in judgment, we're actually communicating with ourselves in power. And that's what I want to go at this morning. James is super plain about that. Words create worlds. Humans, by estimation on average, speak about, according to science, about 16,000 words a day. And obviously what we do with those words, they do matter. What we say, how we say it, why we say it matters. I mean, for instance, if I came up here and the whole time I looked at you with squinty eyes like this, and just kind of scoured the room, I'm communicating something. If my body posture, I'm still talking, but even if I don't say a word, if I'm kind of giving you the pose, I'm communicating something. I'm communicating that I'm better than, right? And if I'm on my knees, and I'm doing this, I'm communicating something. Isn't it interesting what we say and what we do communicate something to one person that, look at Ryan, he is going after God, and another person saying, look at Ryan, look at how showy he is spiritually. Words aren't the only things that communicate. What you say online, let me get really blunt because I said it in the first service and I'll say it in the second service. What you say about Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump matters. How you say it, what you say, when you say it. And let me say it like this. As you begin to process this message, understand just because you have a thought does not give you license to say it. Even if it's in the name of truth. Because as I said last week, you can be right and be completely wrong by the spirit with which you speak the truth. I mean, let's get really blunt. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'll say it here. Paul was followed by a woman who spoke the truth and said, Paul, man of God, this and that. She was prophesying from a spirit of divination, and she was saying the right thing about Paul out of the wrong spirit. So don't tell me that we can't say thing in this political season that is completely straight from the pit of hell and say the right thing in the wrong spirit. That'll preach. Our words have power. Proverbs 18:21. I told you, this is a refresher. This is not super enlightening. This is blunt force word. Word. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speaking of trauma, this right here, I'm going to drop the hammer. This right here has capacity to do damage. It also has the capacity to build things, yes? But if I use the hammer and I hit my finger, ouch, ouch. Here's what we do. Our words create worlds. Then what happens is that if you drop the hammer on me verbally, ouch, I may go up to, Joe, I'm going to use you. You're right in my line of fire here. I may drop the hammer on Joe, and Joe, being the amazing human being that you are, forgives me and says, I forgive you, Pastor, blah, blah, blah. But how many of you know his thumb still hurts? He's still got to go to the ER. So my ability to say to him, Joe, come on, man, don't you forgive me? I did forgive you. Well, then get over your hurt. Get over your hurt. No, 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 no. We can't bludgeon people with our words and expect them to immediately, well, why don't you just get over it? Just get over it. Just get over it. You hammer somebody with your words and you expect them to just get over it? Really? Because I'll tell you what, I'm a human being. And even though I'd like to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, just being totally real and not on a spiritual super cloud, there are times when you say things that hurt my feelings. Now, I have the right to come back and say, in Christ, that hurt. What we need to do is begin to take responsibility for the words that we utter. And what I need to do in that situation is, Joe, I will go with you to the ER. That's a part of me cleaning up my verbal mess. In the words of the Mandalorian, I have spoken. For those Star Wars, that's just another Star Wars reference. It's a running joke about my sermons, running joke, Star Wars. Your words can build people, they can help people, and they can hammer people. James 3:5 says this, the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze, and the tongue is a fire. Now, this little spark here could do some great damage to a few of my hairs if it gets too close. And if I put it down on the carpet, we're all running for the buildings and here comes the showers. It can also, in the wrong context, spread in a heat wave and we could burn the whole city to the ground without proper measures if we don't watch this. How many churches have been reduced by the fire of gossip? How many churches have been, how many relationships, how many marriages, how many male-female relationships, how many siblings, how many moms and dads, in the words, that they burned it to the ground because they need to be right and they want to connect, they want to communicate at people in the name of being right instead of connecting with people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just put it to you this way. If Jesus followed that same line of thought, he would not have died on the cross to connect with us. So obviously, Jesus is full of both grace and truth. It says he's 100% grace and 100% truth. And he didn't compromise truth when he brought us grace. But he did so because he connected with us from the foundations of the world. He said, I want to connect with you more than you in your capacity to even ever be right. I am the righteousness of God. I am. That's who he is. But trying to be right at the cost of a relationship will burn it to the ground. The tongue, it can be used for great evil, but it can be used for great building. Let me show you this next scripture. Ephesians 4:29 says this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, in the Strong's Concordance, the word corrupt is translated unwholesome, rotten, useless, or depraved. So in essence, fish mouth. Think of a stinky, rotten fish in your mouth. It's that connotation. Now, let me read the Amplified version here. It says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion. That's important. That it may be a blessing and give grace to the hearer. So, in essence, what he's saying is words that build up, not tear down. And it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that you give people fluffy, encouraging words that are empty and shallow. How many of you have ever been flattered before and you know it was empty and shallow? Oh, you're so bogus. But the spirit behind the words communicated something different entirely. I mean, let's just be real. We all have the Holy Spirit in this. Those of us are in Christ. You can discern when somebody's telling you what you want to hear. Flattery is empty. Building people up, encouragement is good. It is important to be encouraging. There's no doubt. But don't kid yourself. In that scripture, part of grace is the correction of the Father. So as I am in a relationship with my son, there's a different weight in our relationship than it is with a total stranger. Let me put it to you this way. A person criticizing me from afar is totally different than my wife criticizing me. It's not the same weight. So her capacity to build me up is far more powerful than a total stranger. Are you tracking? All relationships have different connotations. They have different things. But likewise, the opposite is true, is that sometimes those negative words from afar, from others, those can be countermanded by those in relationship with and actually help you overcome based on the relationship you have. So if my wife says, yeah, don't listen to that person, they're just talking out of their pain, and I pay attention to what my wife has more power than those words. Because of the connection. This is why we need to connect with the Father, agreed? We need to find out what he's saying about that. So what he's saying may be this. Ryan, you made a mistake with Landon. That's true. But here's a greater truth. You're a fantastic parent. See the hook right there? The enemy can take something that was supposed to be, the enemy can take a truth that God wants to speak to you and distort it and make you swallow it hook, line, and sinker under condemnation. And then what happens is you take that condemnation and you project it to other people. And that's why people get online and they vent, vomit, and puke over all the social injustices because it's anesthetizing their pain so that if they look and judge at other people, I don't have to look at mine. Come on, a lot of us have done this in the name of building people up. Our prayer circles become gossip circles. This is an important thing we need to understand. We need to build people up. Now, what he isn't saying is, Paul, all throughout the New Testament, is encouraging us to be there and to speak edification and to encourage one another. It doesn't mean you don't father people or mother people. Fathers and mothers have to, in the context of relationship, bring correction. But let me tell you, there's a mutual edification. My son taught me just as much in that encounter as I taught him. Churches that I'm the master, you're the pupil. Church dynamics where I'm the father, you're the son. No. That's top down. It's totally not kingdom. If you're discipling somebody, you better be learning from that person you're discipling as much as you're teaching. There's this mutual grace in community. It doesn't include gossip, judgment, slander, sarcasm, crude jokes, water cooler talk, coarse jesting, or unbridled swearing. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. You're free. You're free to move about the country. Just understand that when you do that, you may drop the hammer on my friend Joe, and you may mess up and jack up all of your relationships, but you're free to do that. You can burn Rome to the ground with your words if you want, but just understand there's a mess to clean up when you do. One of the things as a leader I had to get over was I can't stand gossip. I don't like it. I know what it does to people. I know what it does to offices and businesses. I know what it does. We have a culture of honor here precisely because I know sometimes people puke out words that they shouldn't say about other people in the church or wherever or in their businesses, wherever it is. The point is that we have a method and an opportunity through the scripture to clean up our mess when we puke it out. And here's one for you. When you do, that opportunity to clean it up is actually an invitation for you to grow in God's grace and actually hit new levels in Christ that you've never achieved before because you were willing to confront it and not hide behind your pain and your gossip. Make sense? If I had a dollar for every year, and I'm not preaching out of my pain. I know when I have, and this isn't one of those moments. I can tell you, if I had a dollar for every year I've heard where I'm not leading right, I would be a gazillionaire. But here's what I do. I pray behind your back constantly. I don't pray the problem. God, all those gossipers who don't believe in my leadership, blah, 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 blah. I don't pray the problem. Here's what I pray. Father, thank you that we've got a bunch of world changers, world class, amazing grace, spirit-filled world changers who live with purity, passion, and power for you, who pray incessantly for me as much as I pray for them. And I'm going to get it right. They're going to get it right. I'm growing in grace in Jesus' name. And I release that in the atmosphere at 6 a.m. in this building in the morning when you're not looking, and I pray it over the chairs that you're sitting in right now. I do that, and I only tell you that because it's true. It's not because I'm sitting here needing style points for what I said. I care, but I'm saying to you, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good and edifying to the hearer. Give grace to the hearer. Don't ask yourself to be judged by your good intentions and judge the hell out of other people by their actions. Don't do the double standard. That's pretty strong, wasn't it? That was the hammer. For out of the abundance, Luke 6:45 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, if we want to communicate for a change, then we need to think for a change. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with diligence, for it flows the springs of life. The Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so is he. Basically, what you think about you matters. And you can't isolate what you think about you and the relationships closest to you. What you think about you will translate to the relationships around you. So if I feel like insecurity is a part of my DNA, and I have to live insecure, what I'm going to do is I'm going to internalize that in my heart. Then I'm going to speak that out. And when I do, I'm going to create an atmosphere of insecurity in my sphere. Then I'm going to push people away and say, why are people pushing me away? I'm going to partner with the spirit of rejection. And if I do that, then I'm going to blame everyone else for that problem when I need to look inward and go, Father, what are you saying about what's this rejection thing that I'm dealing with? Has anybody ever felt that way? I got delivered of that. It doesn't mean I don't feel the ping of it occasionally. So when I feel the ping of it, I need to take that thought captive and go, wait a minute, I'm a great leader. I don't always make great leadership decisions, But my identity in Christ is I'm a great leader. And if that sounds arrogant to you, stop judging me and look at why you don't say you're great. Amen. See what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. We need to communicate for a change. And it starts with the way we think about ourselves. Many people come to marriage seminars looking to fix their spouse when they need to look at themselves and go, wait a minute, God, what are you fixing in me? Maybe if I wouldn't talk so trashy to myself, my other person that I'm involved with in this life would actually see the real me. But if I keep trashing me, I'm actually defiling God's creation. Yeah. And if you're his child, then speaking that out against yourself is child abuse. I'm learning about this. You say, well, you should have known this. Well, I do. It's just that sometimes faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing it again, hearing it again, hearing it another way. Faith keeps, and you just keep going back to the basics of the faith. We need to see our value in Christ. What do you think about? See, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, many of you know who she is. She's a Christian. I don't know what the title for the brain stuff that she deals with. I honestly don't know the title, but she's a super duper smart doctor brain specialist. And she understands neural pathways and brain trees and all of that. But a couple of things that I wrote down that I felt like I needed to pass along. One of it is that our emotions are like the warning light under the hood. So when stuff's going off in you that's not right, it's not saying, hey, get inward and beat yourself up for 30 hours. That's not what you need to do. What you do is as you're going about living life, enjoying Jesus and the kingdom and the people and loved ones around us, when something goes off in our brain or deep in here that is just pinging us, that is an invitation for the Lord to summon you to greatness in that very area that you're being pinged. We have neural pathways. Physiologically, negativity creates fields and atmospheres of negative energy that attracts other people who have negative energy. And there's a science behind this. That's why, have you ever noticed that, like, The Office or something like that, if you had 1,000 people and there was 50 people that were super negative and critical of everything and everyone, you know that those 50 people would find themselves within at least 2 to 3 weeks? Why? Because the negative people repel all the people who don't want to hear that. Are you with me? God died for all of them, but how many of you know people who are passionate for God, who are going after it with purity, passion, and power, attract one another, and people who aren't don't? Yeah. Right. That's why we're not a megachurch yet. And by the way, if you don't want a megachurch, that's not my problem. That's yours. Are you into numbers? No, but I'm into people behind the number, because behind every number is a name, and every name has a story, his story that needs to be written in your life. You know what? Once upon a time, I was afraid to say that because, oh, you can't say that because they're going to all think that you're about numbers. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done having everyone else analyze my motives. Let him analyze my motives. Yeah. I want to grow, period. In every way, I'm inviting you to grow too. In fact, I'm saying this over myself all the time. I'm a learner. I'm a grower. I'm attracting people who haven't arrived. I'm a novice. I'm learning in God. I'm growing in grace. I'm attracting people who have not arrived, who want to grow as well and change the course of human history. I'm a grower. I'm a learner. And I'm going to talk about what I'm learning all the time. Yeah. See what I'm saying? And if people don't want to be a part of that, that negative energy will leave the building. I didn't say this in the first service, Pastor Julie. What? I'm possessed by the goodness of God. Thumbs up. Hammer. All right. Edifying words. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Here's what Carolyn Leaf says. She says there's 60,000 thoughts per day. 75% are negative. That means they have to be challenged. Your thoughts have to be challenged. She says that there's a few keys to this that she's found helpful, but one of them is this. When you're in this negative stew, super practical, you can get alone with God, you can read your Bible, do something, anything to break up the negative cycle. Take 16 minutes a day, shut everything down, go on your quiet time, go on your break, do something, but for 16 minutes, at least 16 minutes, just sit there, read a scripture, meditate on something, destiny, anything to challenge the thought of the negativity that's bombing your mind. Just take a pause. You don't have to be a victim to those thoughts. You do not have to be a victim to any thoughts. Well, Ryan, what if it's true? Then God is bigger to any accusation, because we know who the accuser is. Any accusation that comes and starts bombing you, if there's a shred of truth, he will say it to you like, Ryan, you made a parenting mistake, but you're a champion father. You can't swallow the accusation without also receiving his grace in the moment. Isn't that giving grace to the hearer? Are you a hearer of you? You talk to yourself? By the way, if you don't talk to yourself, you're crazy. I'm walking around, I'm walking. No, you're not crazy. You're of sane mind. You're of not confessing that. By the way, sidebar. One thing that really helped me is not being the word police for everybody else. So if somebody says something really, really dumb, my first inclination, because I like to fix things, is, oh, put that, zip that, stop it, stop, stop. But here's what I found is, in the context of relationship, there's an open door to do that, but in the wrong setting, I can actually damage that person when they need to vent. So part of processing is like Psalm 42, David, I'm so depressed, I'm angry, I'm this, my enemies are all around me, blah, blah, blah. David was the master processor. David, Lord, this sucks, my situation is terrible, I'm totally not healed, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, nevertheless, praise the Lord. He processed it, he got it out, he didn't stuff it. Now I'm sure there were people around trying to correct his words all the time while he was processing it and called that lack of faith, but he didn't attend Elevation Church, which doesn't do that. We actually allow the Holy Spirit to correct our words, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and he's bigger. And in the context of relationship, we can help people get there and get free without judgment. Just being real. I got you in my line of sight, Ernest. I'm just looking at you. I'm not picking on you. You've done nothing wrong. But Ernest, if you heard me say something dumb, it's a lot easier for me and you, after we've known each other for a long time, to say, why are you demeaning yourself like that, Ryan? You're amazing. And vice versa. Easier to do that than to go up to a total stranger and just bludgeon them with truth and call it discipleship. That's what I'm saying. It takes a community. We communicate for a change in community. We're going to help each other. Y'all help me. I help you. We grow bigger and stronger together. These brain trees that Carolyn Leaf talks about are very real. There's patterns of thought. There's patterns of thinking that physically develop. And what happens is negativity begins to breed in these brain trees. And what happens is you start to actually have a chemical reaction where it starts to, in some ways, feel good to talk bad. Your brain wants to talk bad. It wants to say bad things because you've built this culture. But how many know Jesus is bigger? And you can destroy these things. You can destroy the speculation. You can destroy the negative. And literally, scientists have even said when a person gets born again and receives Christ, they have new neural pathways formed. Fact, scientifically. The battle really is in our mind. Now, when lies aren't confronted, our destinies are not fulfilled. We need to have a dialogue, and the difference is in the dialogue. How are you talking to yourself? And visualize the victory. I want to read this real quick, and I'm about to close. Mark 5:25. Visualization is not, it can be used by New Age, but you need to understand, visualization is kingdom. If you can see it, you can have it. It changes your options. And so, yes, New Agers have hijacked some of that, but as with everything in the kingdom, there's always a counterfeit to the real. In Mark 5, I want you to see this story from a new lens. Mark 5, it's the story of the woman with the issue of blood that touched Jesus. She gets dramatically healed by touching his garment. Let me read this to you. It says, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, she'd endured much at the hands of many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was not helped at all. She'd actually grown worse. And after hearing about Jesus, she probably was judged too for her lack of faith all those years too, and some of the churches she went to. And am I communicating something there? After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought. Three other translations say it like this. She kept saying to herself. She thought, you know what? Okay, let's have a conversation here. Let me weigh this out. She's thinking. She's starting to talk to herself. The translation says, I'm thinking about this. Okay, if I rush it, I have blood and the culture I'm in. I could get stoned for doing this. People may kill me. But then again, let me weigh out my options here. I'm dying anyway here. I got to keep talking to myself, but I know this. I've seen other people get healed, and maybe he's no respecter of persons, so I'm going to have this constant dialogue. And she kept thinking to herself, if I touch his garment visually, I can see it, I can have it. She got it. Now, if that changed her options, why can't that change yours? I can't prove that she was physically self-talking that, but the Bible does make it very clear all throughout Scripture what we say we get, and we become what we say. So what are you saying about you? Would you stand? I'm going to wrap this up in 3 or 4 minutes at the most. I close with this thought about Gideon. You can read it in your Bible this week in Judges 6, but I want you to get a visualization of the scene. Gideon is hiding. He's in total fear. He's part of the people of God who had been oppressed and all, you know, what's broken loose. And he's totally in fear. And the Lord crashes in. He crashes the chatterbox. And all of a sudden, he says to Gideon, mighty man of valor, you've been assigned for a great work. How many of us, when we've been prophesied and told that, encouraged by other people, have not valued the weight of that word? Gideon's first response was, I'm the least of these, I'm the least of my clan. I don't know what you're talking about. I want to give hope to somebody today that even if your first reaction is this is all a bunch of hooey and that religion is just a bunch of hooey, which I agree religion is, but Jesus isn't. All of this, even if you're in total unbelief, disbelief, and you never see that your options in your mind's eye can change, if God can do it for Gideon, he can do it for you. Here's what happens. He declares that. God just totally ignores Gideon and decides to make him a mighty man of valor even when Gideon didn't believe him and puts him in situations where he grows. You know what you don't see? About 3 or 4 more miracles into this thing, you don't see Gideon saying that he's the least of these anymore. I'm willing to bet that when God changed the narrative of his mind, God changed the narrative of Gideon's life. Our community can speak life and death in the power of the tongue. I started this message talking about a parental blunder. I want to finish this message was something that built me up this very week. I had come out of our Wednesday night equip night. We had a night of worship. And I went up to my office. And on my whiteboard. On my whiteboard, I had a word written by my daughter. I want to show you. She said, Dad, be encouraged. Today is going to be a great day. You're such an amazing father, leader, pastor, son, and you are dearly beloved. You're braver than you believe, smarter than you think, loved more than you know, and make a greater impact than you can ever imagine. Be blessed, so blessed to call you dad. Love you 3,000. Amma. You had me at hello. I almost didn't show this. I was this close to not showing it, but I thought, no, that built me up because her words carry weight with me. It's not the same. I'm appreciative of a nice comment from you, but something like that from you, that carries weight, that carries power. How much more are Heavenly Father's words over us? And when we begin to say what he's saying, we change our lives forever. Would you bow your heads? Ministry team, come forward. I want to talk to the Gideons out there who have been self-talking themselves into the least of these. And I'm declaring that you're greater. Fear keeps us from celebrating who we really are and celebrating one another for the awesome people of God that we are, because we want to partner with the accusation. I'm breaking and canceling that lie today. I'm believing in faith that the Word of God will come alive when you read it, that you will no longer be condemned by reading the Word of God or hearing the Word of God, but you will partner with conviction and you will learn to clean up your mess without partnering with condemnation. I'm speaking to the Gideons who have a world to change but have been reduced in fear because of the proclamation and words of others closest to them that have shut them down. I'm breaking that off of you, and I want you to come and get built up by one of these precious saints here. I'm also speaking to a person here who has not received Jesus. I know you're here. I don't know who you are, but you're here. You don't know the Jesus I just preached. And we want you to know, you don't ever have to join this church, but we want you to encounter Jesus. Find one of these precious saints and they'll pray for you and lead you to him. And lastly, there are people here in your relationships that you have some work to do in going to the ER. Words that hurt you and hurt other people, especially words proclaimed over yourself, self-sabotage, self-loathing words. And God is saying, I'm not here to condemn you, I'm here to empower you. And the very thing that was assigned against you is the thing I'm going to now liberate you from and make it a ministry of life. And so I, in Jesus' name, Father, I bless them with a great week ahead. I pray in Jesus' name that these simple words about the power of our words and how we communicate for a change, that our thought life will come into alignment with what you're saying and what you're doing, and we'll have testimony and fruit from it. In the precious name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.